A Savior Who Is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
This mass suicide is here to the Mayan calendar, which predicts the end of time to occur on the 21st of December of this year. This year.
What are the odds?
Well, that's an excerpt from the over-the-top disaster movie 2012 that came out a couple of years ago. And that was when most of us probably heard that the Mayan calendar authoritatively predicted the end of the world on December 21st, 2012. And that date is approaching. Of course, many people think, well, I guess it could be. Maybe the Mayans knew something we don't know. Can we say definitively that the world won't end on the 21st of December? And can we say, especially as Christians, based upon what Scripture definitely tells us, that anyone could tell us when the end of the world is going to come? Greetings, welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon. It's the 30th of November. We'll be talking about the Mayan calendar and the end of the world that is predicted, or they say is predicted, on December 21st this year. Pastor Sam Schulheis will join us for the first half hour of the program. We'll do a little bit of Issues, Etc. comment line, and then we're going to talk about, we'll also do Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week a little bit later, but then Pastor Brian Wolfmiller in the meantime joins us to talk about the season of Advent, which, well, it has begun, but the first Sunday in Advent is this coming Sunday, and the season is a short one. If you don't take time to talk about it, you might miss it, and it isn't just pre-Christmas. We'll talk about that with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Table Talk Radio. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, feel free to join us, and then remember that phone number when it's time to vote for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the week, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave a vote for soundbite of the week, as many already have, at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. By the way, soundbite of the week is a simple game we play almost every Friday. In the last half hour of today's program, in about an hour and a half, we'll just play four soundbites. You get to listen, and then your votes get to determine which is Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. And it's also your chance to win the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues, Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and the Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad. That's in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Pastor Sam Schulheis is a regular guest, and he's associate pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California. He's author of a recent blog post for Steadfast Lutherans titled Mayan Mayhem. Sam, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
Can we say definitively, I mean, can we say beyond a shadow of a doubt that the world won't end December 21st, 2012?
Oh, you know, that's a good question, because it's kind of the flip side of what we usually say. But, yeah, it's definitely the case that we don't know for sure one way or the other, whether it will or won't, because Jesus is pretty consistent and the Scriptures follow suit as well, that, you know, we will neither know the day nor the hour, and he'll come as a thief in the night. So, yeah, it's entirely possible that it could end on December 21st, or today, or tomorrow, or sometime in the next 20 hours even. But the point of the Scriptures is that we don't know, and that therefore the Mayan calendar can't be the source of whether it is or isn't going to end.
I guess the big question is, and I think everyone assumes that it does, when, in fact, you look at the actual scholarship on this issue of the Mayan calendar, does it, in fact, predict the end of the world at all?
No, not entirely at all. The calendar is a cyclical thing. So it runs in a circle, and some of the archaeological evidence shows that it was made in a round. So it would be like we exchange our calendars every year. Well, they would just kind of, almost like adding rings in a tree, where it grows out as time goes on. And so the bigger the events, the longer things go, the more rings they would add, hence the kind of the calendar running out rather than the end of the world coming kind of thing.
So to begin with, we need to state that the Mayan calendar makes absolutely no predictions. It just appears to end at a date on or around our reckoning of December 21st, 2012. Is that even certain that the Mayan calendar ends on that date?
No, there's been some recent scholarship, too, that suggests that because of the difference between our Gregorian calendar, typically the one we use, and the differences between the Maya calendar, that most likely the calendar should have already ended back in October, I think October 28th of 2011. So if the world was going to end at the end of the Mayan calendar, we wouldn't be here right now having this wonderful radio conversation. But as you can see, the Mayan calendar ended and we're still here. And thankfully, we're able to discuss some of these issues together.
Who were the Mayans? I mean, can you just give us a very, very brief sketch of what we're talking about?
Sure. I mean, I'm no early, ancient historian of any sort. But I mean, they lived in what is modern day Mexico and Guatemala. Most of the famous ruins we see are some of those step tiered pyramids. They would have the we're discussing dates back to around 5th century BC, roughly from there, and they would have been around 5 BC. Sorry, no, 5th century. I'm looking at the wrong stats here. Sorry, and kind of a primitive culture with that, but they also had a lot of astrological astronomy was a big focus, mathematics, things like that. Some of the very similar things we see with the Aztecs, for example.
And talk again about their concept of time and why that in and of itself probably precludes the idea that they ever had an end of the world in mind.
Oh, great question, because our concept of time happens to be usually more of a linear kind of thing, point A, point B, year 100 to 1900, 2012, that kind of thing. The Mayan concept of time was, like we mentioned before, kind of in a circular pattern. So more of a recurrence kind of thing, or almost a, not quite reincarnation, but that same kind of effect that things come full circle again, come around again. And so major events, instead of going from A to point B, it would be adding more numbers to it. The kind of the technical term, I guess, in horography, the study of calendars, called long counting. So the bigger event, the more important it is, the more significant, the more zeros you get stacked up behind it. And that's how the Mayans then kind of added up their concept of time.
So in its very basic form, it was cyclical.
Right.
Then am I right in concluding, at least from what we know, the little that we can, because it's not like they left explanations of their calendars for us.
No, they didn't do much of that. And same with kind of the mythology that is all behind it. It's hard to get a grasp on what their concept of time and everything was to the fullest extent because there just isn't a whole lot of evidence available.
Would they have probably conceived more of a rebirth rather than an end of the world? Or a reboot, we'd say, in modern parlance?
That's definitely more of the parlance that they would, I think, be familiar with, at least from the little bit of research that I was doing for the article, that, in fact, in their mythology, there supposedly was at least four different rebirths of the creation and the cosmos up until this last calendar, which was supposed to be yet another, rebirth, another cycle in their calendar events or in their way of keeping time, kind of based on, again, their entire mythology. So it's not so much like a death and resurrection as a definitive point A, point B kind of thing, but a continual process.
Can you do that first? Can you contrast in general terms not only a different view of time that Christianity holds, which is historical and linear and not based in mythology, contrast that with the kind of mythology-based view of the world that the Mayans had?
Absolutely. I mean, the mythology that they based their calendar off of also happened to be the way that they looked at the world. When Christianity approaches not only time, but matters of life and death, or creation, destruction, and we even use the word rebirth. These things are dealt with not in a mythological, abstract kind of way, but rather in a very fleshly, tangible way, because of the nature of Scripture and who God is, and most clearly of all, how he presents himself as the God who becomes known. You know, talks about in 1 John that we saw with eyes what he did and what eyewitnesses of these things. And so that coupled with the fact that Christ manifests himself in that way makes it, yes, qualitatively different than any kind of mythology. And so, therefore, our concept of time is going to reflect that, too. We focus on events, historical, tangible things in history.
So, just from a pastoral perspective, with only about a minute here before our break, Sam, you would caution people, again, even if they did make a prediction, you would say, look, we're dealing with a culture and a religion that doesn't have any basis in fact. Why should Christians listen to it? About a minute here.
Oh, no, that's the case. I mean, Christianity has, again, the core content and the core message is Christ was dead on Friday afternoon. He was alive on Sunday afternoon and Sunday morning. And that's the historical message that the early Christians carried forth and that we carry forth today. And there's every bit of reason to have confidence in that because of what Christ has said and done versus, some sort of abstract mythological calendar or a recurrence of events that, for the most part, weren't even meant to be true at his history in the first place, whereas the Christian message was, look, these things happened. They didn't happen in a corner. We saw them. Luke records that he made an excellent account of Theophilus of the things that were happened so that he would have confidence.
Well, let's take a break right there. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Mayan calendar and the alleged prediction of the end of the world. 1-877-623-6943.
My only friend, the end of our...
Folks, there are 5 weeks left in 2012, and we're $63,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2012.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida. Silly with commercials, serious with God.
Howdy, folks. Old Gus here. When I'm not out fixing up something with Country Bob's or picking on my banjo with Matt, I saddle up and head on down the trail till I hit the white sandy beaches of Pensacola, Florida. And on Sunday, you can find me at Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church invites you to divine service every Sunday at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Bible classes for all ages at 9:15.
Stay Lutheran, my friends!
Sometimes what God has us do is the harder thing. This is why Jesus characterizes discipleship as taking up your cross, losing your life, and denying yourself.
Narcissism, which is narcissism and eisegesis, which is reading things into Scripture that are not there. What do we call people who are not strong on religious liberty? not strong on freedom of association, and not strong on freedom of speech. I'm having increasing problems myself referring to those people as liberals.
On Christmas Day, as you look out at all this white snow, I want you to see the snow as red, red with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Next hour on Issues Etc., we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's just a taste of the four soundbites that we'll be playing for you and that you will pick from when your votes determine which is Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We're talking about the Mayan calendar and its alleged prediction of the end of the world on the 21st of December. Pastor Sam Schultheis is our guest. He's associate pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California, and he's author of a recent blog post for Steadfast Lutherans titled Mayan Mayhem. What are your questions or comments about the Mayan calendar, about the end of the world? Our lines are open, and we're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, the 30th of November, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email with a question or a comment, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Let's go to the phones and see what Selena has to say. Selena, thanks for waiting on the line.
Oh, not a problem. I called earlier, and you were getting ready to for some talking, and I had to get off the phone, and then I had to leave the car, so I didn't hear what you're talking about. So maybe you've already covered what I'm going to say, but I'll judge it anyway, let you say. I've always thought that the Mayan calendar thing, anytime anybody predicts a definite day that, you know, it's going to be the end of the world, that's probably one we could guarantee is not going to be, because Christ said no one knows. And so, you know, it could be the day before, it could be the day after, but you can almost guarantee it's not going to be on the one they predict.
Saluda, thank you very much. What do you think of that rationale there, Pastor Schultheis?
Well, I think it's if you're making bets, it's probably a safe bet, but it's always better to stay with the clear word of Jesus, which says you don't know the day or the hour. So, I mean, the probability that somebody's prediction and Jesus' actual coming are going to coincide are highly unlikely. But again, there's always that possibility that it could happen. Although to no credit certainly to any prediction or Mayan calendar or any of the sort, it's just better a safer ground to say, regardless of what anybody has predicted or not predicted, let's just stick with what Christ says, and I'm coming as a thief in the night, and no one will know. Although, yeah, you're probably left to say, sure, in the end, it doesn't look like a very good possibility, and the probability really isn't too good for that either, since Christ's word is more solid.
Apart from the issue of the calendar itself, where did the frenzy that has surrounded the Mayan calendar alleged prediction that's been going on for, well, probably close to 10 years, where did that originate as far as you can tell?
I mean, some of this kind of comes and goes here in different trends. We experienced a lot of this in the year 2000 with the computers rolling over, which again was kind of another calendar mishap. It should have happened, you know, the millennium would have happened later than people had anticipated, and calendars and computers rolled over just fine in spite of our fears and worries. So these things they're pretty perennial as far as man's paranoia. So there's a little bit of that, just kind of our longing for the mysterious, our longing for the unknown, but also, you know, things like New Age mysticism, the Eastern religion, which kind of talks or goes back to the points we were mentioning earlier about the rebirth and kind of physical view of not only time but of kind of a man's position in the universe. You know, you don't really die; you just kind of go on to be something else. So there's a lot of that kind of influence being funneled into all of this, and it kind of, you know, makes a mass hysteria. And of course, there's money. The movie, although it wasn't all that great, did make some money, and is pretty popular amongst a lot of people. So yeah, there's that to be said for too: exciting fear and filling wallets.
I want you to talk a little bit more about your second point there, and that is that a lot of this, the gullibility toward this, or the popularity of this, not the people who are promoting it, but the people who actually consume these ideas of an end of the world based on a Mayan calendar, is based largely, and sometimes even Christians fall into this, in kind of a pan-religious view that all these religions have something to say, they all contain some kind of truth, and maybe the Mayans, maybe they knew something that we Christians don't know about the end of the world. Talk, address that, if you would.
Yeah, this is another perennial issue with man, is to look for some kind of comfort or help from outside of scriptures. And, to scratch the itching ears, we'll often look for things in other religions, and sure, maybe little grains of things that might have some similarities or commonalities, but it's grasping at straws, ultimately. And the issue there then happens to be with, well, where are you going to get a more credible source, a more reliable source of truth and information? And so, Christians are equally susceptible and prone to this, too. In the notable Left Behind series still drums up, quite a bit of excitement and things, too.
Why do you think it is that Christians will readily go to that verse, no one knows the day or the hour, when it's a Mayan prediction or alleged Mayan prediction, but they seem to forget that verse when it's Hal Lindsey, or when it's Tim LaHaye, or when it's Harold Camping, or when it's any of the other end times predictors?
Well, one of the things is, the way to make a good, successful lie is always to mix a little bit of truth into it. And unfortunately, Christians happen to be some of the best ones at doing that, namely that they take a little bit of, the correct teaching of God's word, and then they mix in a little bit of their own error, and then maybe cap it off at the end in a truth sandwich with some nice lying meat in the middle, and end up then passing off a false thing as a rather convincing lie. So that's kind of what we see with the Tim LaHaye's and the Harold Campings and things. And they get part of God's word right, but then they twist around the other parts of it, ignoring the truth altogether, and thus making the truth even more susceptible to being torn down, and making the lie even more dangerous.
So give us some pastoral advice, if you would, Sam. How should Christians react to not only this, but to other times, other end times, end of the world predictions?
Well, I think one thing is to use a good, discerning, thoughtful mind when coming to these things. Realize that a lot of them are just that. They're sensationalistic, and they're not gonna have any staying power. They're more of a fad. They're gonna come and go, much like some of the other either Christian trends or religious spiritual trends that we see in the world around us. So be discerning. Know the times we're in. Jesus says that they are evil times. They're wicked times, and we should expect these kinds of things. We should even expect worse. We should expect calamity and suffering. We live under the cross as the church, and yet the more clear thing to recognize that Christ has said, even though in this world you will have trouble, fear not, I have overcome the world. And so there is warning, there's repentance about the end times, but the overwhelming fact of the matter is that Jesus' return is a word of comfort for us, a consolation, that even though the world is falling apart around you and it looks like hell on earth, literally, Christ has even conquered death and hell for us. And he promises that, behold, I'm coming soon, and I'm with you always to the end of the age.
So suffice it to say, in that vein, the Christian church doesn't, because of the false predictions and the bogus ones, doesn't throw out the baby with the bathwater, but sticks with the truth about the end of the world. How would you summarize that very truth as far as whatever Scripture tells us?
That's absolutely right. We want to keep the clear words of Christ, even though they've been abused or misused. And we'd have to throw out everything in Christian doctrine at some point if we threw it out because there was one misunderstanding about it. All the more reason to continue to be fed a steady diet of God's word and regularly attend divine service and hear the faithful teaching and preaching of that, so that when we come across these errors, we can know what they are, know them for what they are, and keep our Lutheran radar up and attend and keep watch.
So what are you going to be doing on the 21st of December, Pastor Schultheis?
Well, let's see. Usually I'll probably be hanging out with my daughter on my day off, and probably heard her in the background there, and we'll be hanging out, enjoying a good day, and praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and praying thy will be done. And we definitely won't be worrying about any Mayan calendars, though.
Pastor Sam Schultheis is associate pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California. He's authored a recent blog post for Steadfast Lutherans titled Mayim Mayhem, and we will. You can read that. We'll have a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Sam, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks again, Todd. Appreciate it, and blessed Advent to everyone out there.
When we come back, we're going to react to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line, as we usually do on Friday. We've got a few to listen to and to respond to. Then, before this first hour is out, we'll turn to the season of Advent and that subject with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He'll carry us over into the second hour of the program, and we'll be talking then with you again, getting your votes, your reaction, your comments, but especially your votes for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in hour two. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, let's react to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. Stay tuned.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Well, Emily has completed 36 hours at Sylvan Learning Center. Her reading comprehension has improved almost 3 grade levels, and she's gone up more than a grade level in math. Not only have her academic skills improved, we've also noticed an increase in Emily's confidence. Sylvan Learning Center has 2 Metro East locations, Edwardsville 618-656-0500, Shiloh 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.